What?
Question.
The rum in the Yad HaZaka. Answer that question. You got a rum over there?
I think it's a
rum. He can learn Torah. If he could learn science. That's the question, basically, right? Is that it? So, because, since a person can study science, which is also true, and a person can involve himself to a degree in science, which is Chachmas Hashem, I mean, you can't deny it's Chachmas Hashem, right? Okay, as a matter of fact, the Gemara says, Kol HaYadei L'Chashev T'kufas Mazolos V'Ena Choshev, All of them are Kras, Paul Yadei L'Ro, Maisi Yadei L'Bitu. They refuse to look at my actions. I mean, the person doesn't study astronomy, doesn't know how the universe operates, is denying, if he can, if he has the ability to, he's denying the greatness of God. That's what the Chazal say. So it's a chiyuv, it's a chiyuv to do it. It's a chiyuv to know it. So it's Chachmas Hashem. It's not Chulim. I mean, it's the God created all these things. It's all Chachmas Hashem. That's true, and the Ram also is, no question about it. But the Ram is like this. Of course, the real study, the highest study is the study, is metaphysics, which means after a person has a solid foundation in terms of the in terms of those things which exist, which were caused by God, then he has to study the abstract phenomena that lie behind that, which is metaphysics, the ideas concerning God. That's the highest knowledge, because that's the ultimate reality of all realities is God. So therefore the highest knowledge is the knowledge of the ultimate reality. That's what I mentioned to you before, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is a marshal who had a high knowledge of reality. Moshe Rabbeinu, a great physicist. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, because he had a knowledge of the reality behind the realities. Right? Am I giving a marshal with a mirror? Okay, that's an important thing to remember. So therefore that is the highest level, without a doubt. That's the case. So the question is a good question. So we should really study, we should get to work to study physics. I understand the basic ideas in physics. Of course, you have to, when you're studying physics this way, it will be different than just studying physics for as a particular subject. Like, there are many different areas in physics where people attain certain degrees of perfection. A lot of those areas of expertise are really based upon practicalities more than understanding concepts. Like, there are a lot of details that have to be worked out because of certain different mechanisms that people want, you know, for practical purposes. That, of course, we have to outrule. We have to just go for the central ideas in order to be able to study metaphysics. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, "In yonei abo prakamela shebachomesh mitzvos elu, heim shechomo rishonim karnoso pardes, kimo shomro abo nechnesula pardes." So the Rambam says all these things, abo prakamela, starts from the beginning of Yisori HaTorah, where he mentions physical and metaphysical phenomena. So he says that really is the highest thing. He says, they were not all able to understand these things properly, even though they were Gedol Yisrael. Vani Omer, Shein Roy Latal Bapardes, Elamish and Smala Kresa Lechem Basa. The only one that why they call it Pardes? Pardes means a garden. You take a walk in the garden after you had a good meal. Lechem Basa, bread and meat. Lechem abasar, what is the bread and meat? Uleida osav amutar, the kayetz ben mishra mitzvahs. That's the bread and meat. Laf pishet dvar mele dover katan, karos on chacham, even though chacham call it small, these things small things. Shari omr chacham dover godel maisam rakova, the dover katan avayet abayev rava. Right? So they said that these avayets, avayet abayev rava, of course the Gemara was speaking before abayev rava, but they meant the breaking down the possibilities. Abayev rava broke down the ideas into real possibilities. Every machlokes really by the Gdolim before were known because they knew the two possibilities and they outruled one of the possibilities. Later the possibilities were brought up and no one knew whether to outrule them or not. So that's why you had machlokes of Bayev Rava. When you learn through Gemara properly with Rishonim, not the pshat each Rishon puts in his own pshat, they break down all the possibilities that are inherent in the sugya. And you see the way that's why learning a sugya with Rishonim is so beautiful, because you see all the possibilities broken down, all the ideas. And each one takes his own way. See, but they open up the possibilities of the sugya. That's Havayas Habayav Rava. Even though this is called a small thing that's learning, right? Afa Pikein Ru'uyin Hein Lagdimon. These must precede the other studies. You see? Shein Miyashvin Daitash Lodam Tchila. Miyashvin Daita Shalom Tchila means it teaches a person how to think properly first. It's very important in terms of his own perfection, his own intellectual perfection. I think I went through this. So the second reason is, I went through the second reason more length, but briefly, the second reason is in terms of his own perfection, because in order to be able to think properly in the higher areas, a person must make sure that his ethical perfection is on a high level, like the Ram mentions in the Maran Vocha in many places. So that's why Leidad Osavan Mutter comes first for two reasons. Because it perfects a person ethically, that's the second reason Ram gives, and it perfects a person intellectually. An interesting, somebody told me that they heard Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky about 2 weeks ago spoke about about the comparison between Einstein and Rafayim. Yeah, I mentioned it to you. Did I mention it to the other people? I mentioned it on some issue?
Yeah.
That's what luckily Yashvin Daitash Lord Trila, that's what it means. Because the he said Reb Chaim was more perfected in terms of thought, because he said there's one individual, I forgot the man's name, the Rav one time mentioned it, that he used to work out Einstein's equations for him. So Einstein liked to theorize and didn't like to work out the equations. So this fellow used to work out the equations. So he also was a student of Reb Chaim Brisker, the Rav's grandfather. So he came back to Slobodka, so the fellows gathered around and asked him, how would you compare the two minds? So he said, Reb Chaim, he says, was greater in terms of defining something, definition. Because he was able to reduce a thing to its simplest form. Even a child could understand him after he got finished with it. So Einstein couldn't do this. He had tremendous intuition, and you had to be able to follow his intuition. Otherwise, you couldn't be with him. You couldn't understand him. So he says that, he says, in terms of perfection, definitive perfection, Reb Chaim was much greater. He says, however, if Einstein would have taken to learning, he would have been greater than Reb Chaim. So as a potential, he had a greater potential. That's what he said. So at least that's the way it was related to me. So that's what the Rambam says, though. The Rambam says that the Mishem Miyashvin Daita Shlom Tchila. If a person wants to understand the universe, he has to learn how God thinks. It's very important to learn how God thinks. And the way to learn how God thinks to the greatest, to help a person to fulfill his greatest potential is Torah. That's why Torah must come first. Otherwise, the person goes off on all crazy tangents. He doesn't know where he's going. See? So that's why Torah must come first, to perfect himself intellectually, that's one. And, of course, to perfect himself ethically, because then a person goes completely off. Like, see, Bertrand Russell is a tremendous mind. Tremendous mind, no question about it. If you look at his philosophy, if you look carefully at his philosophy, you find a lot of contradictions. And he was the first one to find contradictions in other people. That was his part of his philosophy, is to show people are self-contradictory, you know? And yet you look at him, when he gets caught up with his emotions, he contradicts himself tremendously. The reason was because he didn't have the ethical perfection. That's the reason. He didn't recognize that, but he thought it was just, well, ethics is one thing. You can do whatever you want, you know, and then you can be a great thinker. Yad just says, no, cannot do that. Because if you're not perfected ethically, that means those emotions are there. Those forces are operating on your mind with great power. And whenever you come into to an area which has to do with these emotions, the mind can't work. The mind is as good as dead. That's why I mentioned yesterday, what was Avraham Avinu really? What did Avraham Avinu do? So Ram says he went with his father, Terach, to the Batei Avodah Zarah, and he used to worship with him. He prayed with the Avodah Zarah there, you know. And then he started to think, one second, what's going on here? You know, this really makes sense. And he started to work with it. Then the Rambam says he used to write the disproofs to the other for the other Avodah Zarah, and he used to send it out to the people, you know, show them, disprove that this Avodah Zarah is nonsense. You're wasting your lives. You're giving your children away. You're killing them for no reason at all. This is all nonsense. And he used to show them logically how he could disprove the practices of Avodah Zarah. That's all Medrash. His father left him there with the Avodah Zarah, you know, and he came back, so the big one's fine. Well, it means the Medrash is trying to show that's what he did. He used to show them logically that this is nonsense. So really, what did Avraham Avinu do? Avraham Avinu did one thing. People in Mesopotamia in the time of Avraham, historically speaking, they were advanced. As a matter of fact, they were able to do quadratic equations. That's how far they were in algebra. Yeah, they weren't stupid people. Smart people, intelligent people. People who think that the people who lived years ago were primitive and stupid, they don't just ignorant. They're primitive in their understanding of humanity. They're same minds, same heads. Same heads exist as they exist now. And today's average chacham, who knows how to pull the button on television, is not any smarter and the person who lived in Mesopotamia 4,000 years ago. Not any more intelligent, let me tell you. The thing is like this. What Avraham Avinu did was as follows. Avraham Avinu showed them one thing, that logic and reason must be used not just in the areas, in certain areas, like in mathematics, but it must be used insofar as your Derech HaChaim is concerned also, insofar as your religion is concerned. That's what he showed them. They weren't stupid, but why did they accept Avodah Zarah? They accepted Avodah Zarah because their minds could not operate when it came to certain areas. Egyptians weren't stupid. Egyptians knew the 3, 4, 5, the Pythagorean theorem. This question was practically a theoretical, but they're very intelligent. You see the way they built the pyramids, right? Very intelligent. Worked out mechanically. Engineering was on a very high level. But the stupidity was, the engineering was very great, but the act was stupid. To have hundreds of thousands of people die for one person to be interred in a, with his slaves, slaughtering his slaves and put some bowls of fruit and things for him to live on after he's dead. I mean, it's so absurd. It's an absurd action. Here's a good example. The pyramid is an example of man's absurdity and man's intelligence. Very intelligent in how he constructed it, but the purpose was the most absurd and unjust type of action. Correct? You know what I mean? So there you see. What's the shot? How could a person do that? He's doing something which is a means for something else. The whole part of the something else is a means for it is non-existent. Just a figment of his imagination. And yet he's using the greatest engineering principles in order to achieve this. So it shows his tremendous intelligence for nothing. Just a total waste, you see. What's the shot is he could think rationally when it comes to engineering, but he can't think rationally. The Egyptian couldn't think rationally when it came to death. Death overpowered him. And he couldn't think rationally when it came to that area. In that area, he wasn't able to use the mind that he used for engineering the pyramid. So, of course, he wasted his life, and many other lives were destroyed and wasted because of that. You see? So that's what the point is, that the mind of man is a powerful thing, but it's only as good as its ability to function. See? If it can't function, then it's useless. I don't care how great the mind is. So, therefore, that's why I thought, like the in ethical perfection. Like a person like Russell had a tremendous mind, but when he starts once he gets caught up in his own emotions, I mean, he talks foolishly, because for the same reason that the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids, same thing. Mind can't operate. Torah teaches a person, and that's what Avraham Avinu taught people, that the intelligence of man has to be used in every area. You can't just close it out and be a chacham of him when it comes to quadratic equations, and then go do a stupid action when it comes to the recognition of God and reality and Yehweh Derech HaChaim. That was Avraham Avinu, Avraham Ivri. That's what he did. So the Ram says, I'm a Shote B'daito. Start to think. He's the first man to start to think in these areas. Those people overpower the tremendous primitive emotions in these areas. Of course, today we don't realize his emotions, because since we're raised in the... actually the emotions in us have been uprooted in early youth. Of course, since the society doesn't accept this anymore, so therefore it's uprooted, so it does sound strange. But in those days, that was before this occurred. I mean, those days they were raised in this, and on the contrary, the emotions supported it. It was a very hard thing to be the first one to break away from such a thing, to be able to use the power of his mind. So he turned the light of the mind in that area. That was a very difficult thing. That was a wrong man. In answer to Donnie's question, the thing is this, of course, what would the Rambam say? The Rambam would say, yes, once a person has Torah, then he has to move on to the next thing. He has to understand the universe, and he has to understand beyond the phenomena of the universe, in terms of the ultimate reality, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, insofar as he can. But that's only once he has reached perfection. If he hasn't reached perfection, he is in the greatest danger. Like the Rambam says that he wrote the Moreh Nevuchim, why? Because he wanted to give a person an opportunity to understand some ideas, metaphysical ideas. He says, of course, a person can study Aristotle's metaphysics. He says, but he says one thing, he says, the diver will come up with pearls. He says, but he who cannot swim will drown. See? So, there's a big danger in going beyond the person's ability. That itself is an emotion. The person doesn't recognize it. Of course, he thinks he can study everything, thinks he can know everything. But that's his biggest, greatest weakness sometimes, is his ability to recognize his own shortcomings. You see, that's one of the realms, is the machlo anushis. That's the worst sickness. So before a person is perfected, before he realizes his own limitations, then he's embarking on a trail where he's definitely doomed. That was Spinoza's chassan. Spinoza. tremendous mind, but he didn't have he didn't recognize his own shortcomings. He didn't recognize his own shortcomings. Yes. These areas that the person can only go into these areas if the ideas that lead him to the areas are clear as day. See, once as he keeps on gaining in knowledge, he'll start seeing certain clear steps, and then he could see he's at this step. He could wait for the next clear step. That's the only way he could know when it's as clear as day. But when he just starts to jump in there, he doesn't see what's going on. He knows right away that's it. Has to be a natural progression of clear ideas. And the one thing we do have is, since that's the whole purpose of Nevi'im and Torah, is at least we know the results. We might not understand the results, but the results we know through Nevuah. So you can know if your ideas, if you see clear steps that are in line with the same results that the Nevi'im say, then you can move up to the next step. But as long as you don't see that, then a person should know that that's not for him. He says, and then in the end of paragraph V, which is the end of the second area that he breaks up to, calls one Melchizedek de Barno Binyan Zeh. In Halacha Yud, he says these things aren't as deep as the previous way. Ubiur elat dvarim sheperek shlishi revihu anikra ma'isa brachus. Achein tivachom Hashem shein darshim bedvarim ela barabim ela laodom echad maidin dvarim ela umalam dinaisan. Ma'bein. Okay, then he goes to the chilek. He says, filo lecha nedarshim ela imkein ha'yachachem meif midayta moshim la rasha prakam. They give him rasha prakam. You see. Then you might express your mind. So the thing is that v'lama im alam nasal rabim fishein kolam yesh ladas rechava lahasik pir shabir kolat v'lama buryan. All right. So the thing is that just a second. He realizes his own worthlessness. Okay. Now the thing is that what the Rambam mentions over here is just the results. That's all. It says k'motip manayam. That the real analysis of these areas, That he doesn't give you. In the Mora Nevuchim, his purpose of the Mora was to be able to give it in a safe way, in a way that people will be able to understand. It won't do them any harm. Plus, a lot of people disagree with the Rambam. A lot of people felt that it was harmful. Some people disagree. They felt that it was harmful. That the ego of man is tremendously great. And the person takes a Mora Nevuchim and he thinks he's right in there. He thinks he understands something. He thinks he's up there with the Rambam. He starts working on his own ideas. That was really Spinoza's. That's what got him. So it's a difficult area. But that's the thing. But the ultimate area of knowledge, say this to me, is the knowledge of chemistry and physics and the basic ideas of the universe. Definitely. Those are ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it brings a person to a higher level. And also to the level where eventually he can understand behind the physical phenomena. But a person has to first have the right approach, which he gets from Torah. If he doesn't have that, he goes simply off on a tangent. It's simple, that's it. Get lost in details. Just detailed chemistry is nothing. When he has the right approach, there's a certain ability of a person to recognize the clear idea. It's the only thing. How does a person know when he learns a thesis if he learns it right? How does he know? Because he has the ability inside him to appreciate. He sees that it's clear. He sees that this idea is... This is the way. This definitely has to be so. That ability, a person should never try to cover up that ability. That's what happens in learning a lot of times. A person, unfortunately, it's not a person's fault. But a lot of times, a person has a poor Rebbe, so the Rebbe, glosses over different questions. Like my son told me, reminded me last night. He asked his Rebbe. He says, "Bara means create from nothing," and he said, "This is what I've done. Asa means to create from something." So he says, why does it say that bara means by bara, Hashem bara, so Adam? It says Adam he made from Afar. And Afar is something. So he asked his Rebbe this. So the Rebbe said, that's no kasha, because Afar really is very small, but nothing. What? No, he came back to me, yesterday, he didn't accept it. But last night he says, he has a disproof for that argument. Because it says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram that will make the Jews like Afar. So he says, that means we'll make them like nothing. You were saying this is dangerous. if I wouldn't be there to teach him not to accept this, his mind, he would already start destroying his mind. Because what would happen is he'd be making a categorical distortion, in which case he would confuse the small with a non-existent. However small the thing is, it's not any closer to non-existence. A small car doesn't exist less than a big car. See? So, but the mind, in his mind already, he'd be distorting his natural clear ideas, you see, that are implanted in the soul. And this is a bad thing, because then in learning, what happens is the distortion, carries on. A person could distort anything into especially if he doesn't understand something, he doesn't understand the taste, a few distortions will help you remove all problems. You know what I mean? There's two ways to get out of a problem. either to work it out logically or to destroy the logic. You have no problem either. One of the two. So, of course, the answer to the question is the only way that a person can tell whether he is learning properly is insofar as his ability, he has the ability to perceive the clear idea. But a person could cover up that ability. A person goes and says, well, the important thing in learning is to emphasize and always to make sure that every idea is clear as a bell. If it's not clear, if it's forced, then you should discard the idea. That's why Sarah Pine would say, it's better to have a difficult kasha than a difficult mind. That's what he meant. That is, well, so you don't understand it. Even if it's a basic problem in the sugya, you don't understand it. Do not be ashamed to say you don't understand any problem. You don't understand the sugya. Okay? The moment you accept it, you accept the sugya and you distort it, what happens is you ruin your mind. You ruin your mind.
We have a concept in Yohannes of Bosnimisha Bedin. Yet we hold that the Torah is a perfected system, so how can it be any Lefnimish
system? Well, not going to be a Lefnimish Rizadin. If the Torah system is perfect, you can't have perfect plus. That's the first question I understand, right?
Right.
Can't be perfect plus a little more perfect. If it's perfect, then you can't increase it anymore. That's the first question. The second question was in regard to the Beis HaMikdash. It says that the reason why they were destroyed was because they weren't Lefnimish Rizadin. They were miming themselves on the din. Everybody says, okay, whatever the din is, that's it. I won't give you a nickel, a penny. Just whatever the Bedayan says, that's it. So we're on the finish rest then. Okay. So what's the two questions? What's the first question? I think is more philosophical.
Right.
First question is, how could there be a better than the perfect? Right? Okay. Yes?
Thing is like this.
The halachic system is a structure, a rigid structure, which is given with a purpose. The purpose behind the structure. And the purpose is human perfection. Now, what Donnie is saying is that everybody's obligated beyond the structure. The person will only operate with the structure and will thwart every possible benefit which could be attained through keeping the structure, which is the purpose of the structure. In other words, it will thwart the purpose of the structure totally, then there will be no benefit from the structure. It's very simple. If something is a means for something else and you make that something else impossible, then that thing which is a means is worthless. Same thing over here with the Torah. That's what he's saying, basically, right? That everyone is obligated.
The example of keeping
the is the best example. Novel versus a Torah. Person will alpidin. A person will involve himself day and night in taivas basar achilas basar shias yayin or nashim. He involves himself in nashim. We'll make what we call kedushin and gittin. Alpidin. He can do it every day. No, kedushin and gittin. Alpidin. We'll involve himself. It's possible to do it. It's possible to do it. So I'll be din. Everything will be done, I'll be din. 100%. So you'll tell me if that's the case. So I ask you, would you say that man achieved any degree of perfection? I mean, certainly, any degree. I mean, the only degree he achieved was, the only way he perfected himself was he wasn't lazy. I mean, you know, so he had to go through all these things. Right. But if the distinctions have no other purpose than the distinctions themselves, then I would say that that there's no benefit. I mean, a person can distinguish between ripsteak and between tenderloin, but that's not going to make him raise him to a higher level. It's also a distinction. Yeah. Depends what if the distinctions lead to something. The purpose of the distinction is supposed to lead to a way of life or higher recognition. If it just remains in those distinctions, then it's not going to be anything out of him. So so that's basically what Donnie's saying. They're ready to act. Legislate profession.
No, they're not
going to
do it.
Well, can't. Sin should have perfection. You can legislate halachos. Halachos can legislate. You can't legislate perfection. So instead of saying, he said he insisted that everything's al pidin, 100% al pidin. Why do you have to make sure it's al pidin? Not so much because he loved justice, see, but because that he should lose a dollar unjustly, that he couldn't tolerate, see. So therefore, that shows you that that's what Gemara says. Even a person who goes to bati dinim is an imperfection. A person who's always in bezdin is an imperfection. And Gemara says, mentions in Milo somebody never went to bezdin. Going to Bezin itself is an imperfection. Why is the guy going to Bezin? Why does he care? So the other fellow will take will lose $100 or whatever. You see, if he's machbin on the din, it's not because he loves justice in abstract, see? It's just that he can't stand that. Justice is a compromise. Really, I'd like to have everything, all the money that I can get my hands on. But then the other guy will do the same thing to me, so we can't do that. It's no good. Therefore, we make justice. Justice is, at least I get mine and he gets his, but I have to make sure I get mine. If he... if I don't get mine, he'll get his, right? That's justice. That's the shot. So they mocked it on Din Torah. That was a terrible chassan. So they mocked it. Everything has to be I'll be din. So it was came from the other weaknesses. That's what the Gemara means. That's what the Gemara means. Yes. 100% there still was something lacking. That's what you have to say. That's what Donnie said. The thing that was lacking was the purpose. The din philosophically was lacking, because the din is supposed to bring a person to certain perfection. Okay, so should we start here, or any more questions?
Yeah.
Point. The ancients already recognized the point. As the ancients used to say that you have to start. Plato said on the door of his academy, he said, "Let no man ignorant of geometry enter these gates." That was his that was a statement he had written on the door. Why? The Lyceum. Why? Because because he recognized the guy is going to put himself into involve himself in abstract philosophy, and he doesn't know the basics. Basically, how to think properly. He's not going to come up with proper conclusions. You see? So therefore, there are certain prerequisites. That's what the Rambam says. Rui and Main Lag Dimar. A certain prerequisite. Now, the ancients recognized this. The ancients were... I mean, the Rambam recognized right. The ancients were tremendous insight. Tremendous insight. They're machaven a lot of things to things that we have in the Torah. Very similar. So they also knew that there has to be a prerequisite. Prerequisite is geometry. Matter of fact, there's a Mashah in Hurrius. It says that the Mashah maintained that even Bisman Azeh says... that the person should study geometry before he held it was before Torah. First geometry, then Torah. He held it was a Hagdama to the Hagdama. That's what that's the trait. That's what the Marashah says in Arius. Arius Daf Yud. Check it out in Marashah. He says, this is Hagdama Terasena. He says, geometry and basic astronomy. He says, this is all necessary. Teach a person how to think properly. The ancients recognize that if a person can't think properly, then he's going in. Today, you see, the problem is today's society, you see, there's chaos in our educational system. Because it becomes a free-for-all. You see, what happens is a person can be a very great man in psychology, although he never took logic, which means he doesn't think properly, but he's a great psychologist. See? Now that, to the ancients, was an impossibility. I mean, how could a person... be working in a field that's an abstract field that deals with the human mind, and yet he doesn't know how to think well. On the other hand, you have a person who's a logician, he's a master in logics, but he doesn't think about anything except logic, so he really doesn't use his ability to think for anything. So, the ancients would come back today, they'd look at the universities and the courses and the system, they would be a little disturbed, you know. But that was the idea they perceived. Now, Yadis, what the Rambam says like this, is that Yadis maintains that Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah, that this is the Hagdama, of the best Hagdama possible. The truth of the matter is it far supersedes geometry. The simple reason that geometry, while geometry is tremendous in terms of deductive reasoning is a masterpiece. But Gemara has deductive reasoning also. It doesn't lack any deductive reasoning. If anybody ever opened the Gemara knows. But geometry lacks conceptual reasoning. Geometry doesn't have abstract formulations of concepts, whereas Gemara has both. It has deductive, and also it has abstract formulations. That's why it's both. That's why it is the Hagdama par excellence, the highest form of Hagdama you can have. But we're not going to agree, because there's only Goyen instructed one of his Talmidim to translate Euclid into Hebrew. The original Euclid into Hebrew. And that is still, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's still extant today, that's the translation. Shaul, right? Baruch was it? The hell, that's very important. The person has to master deductive reasoning. So that's why he says the person should, that's why they have him translate. But this is all the ancients recognize as principle, which today, unfortunately, is unrecognized. That is that thinking is not a free-for-all. That's why you have so many, you have psychology, any area, education, any area where it's not concrete, where you can't see the atom smashers, you can't see actual results, like in education or in psychology, human behavior. There are so many shittas, there are almost as many shittas as people who investigate the area. Why? It shows you one thing. It shows you that there is an inability for people to speak on the same same level, like the Rambam says, when there's too many arguments, nobody knows what they're talking about. He says, if there's too many machlekesen, you see that nobody knows what they're talking about. They're not on the subject. Is it possible to have a few machlekesen? Because, of course, the mind can perceive different theories. But if you have 15 people and each one says something different, no one knows what they're talking about. It's something that they don't know. So there's too many possibilities, right? The reason is because people cannot agree. A lot of the disagreements are based upon reasoning abilities, methods of reasoning. What one person considers logical, another person doesn't consider logical. So that's why you're branching off, you're splintering down into so many different possibilities, not because of the subject matter. A lot of the reasons are based upon the basic ideas of reasoning are being used in different ways. You see? That's why I have so many machlokes. That's the reason why Hagdama is very necessary. Why Hagdama is necessary. Mathematics. So, of course, Einstein's formulation was really the first conceptual formulation of the universe. Newton's was a mechanistic, like a mechanistic type of system. See? Now the only thing we could say is this: that a person, why do they call it Jewish mathematics? Because Jewish is always, well, Jews are always in the abstract, always away from the concrete. You see? Whereas the especially Yimach Shemam in the Nazis. They were the ones that maintained the everything mechanical, the observation, the tests, the experiments. Einstein's experiments were mental experiments. So at an early age, he started making mental experiments. It's a Jewish experiment. Like, you don't have to have the laboratory. You don't have to have all the technology. That's the little mind working there. That's it. Like when the Gemara says, Gemara's experiments, Mishnah's experiments, the cases, people look at the cases, ridiculous cases, of course they're ridiculous cases. Mental experiments, every case is an experiment to show exactly what the halacha would be in a certain case. So the case is invented for the theory, you see. Now, the only thing you could say is that Yadus maintains, you see that there's a difference, the world perceives a difference between Jewish thinking and between the secular thinking. Yadis maintains, the Jewish thing, of course, comes from the study, from the fact that we were through the generations. I mean, even even people who didn't directly study Torah, but they were affected by the results of studying Chakiras. I mean, when you see, for instance, you see the plays, you know, the old plays, how a Jew thinks, how he talks, and all this is an offshoot of his, unfortunately, I mean, some of it is silly. But there's a certain the reason why the Jew does think that way is it's an offshoot of learning because he's not interested in the practical and he's working theoretically, you see. So this is the two types of thinking that the world recognizes. I'm going to say one thing: that Yadus maintains that the universe, since the universe was created by God, so it's this type of thinking which will lead a person to the true understanding of the universe. See, the universe was created by God and the Torah was created by God. And what the world, what they consider that called Jewish thinking, that's exactly the type of thinking which is necessary in order to understand the ultimate realities. And that type of thinking is developed to the greatest extent in learning Torah itself. And it shows a person how to think properly and how to understand every area in its proper, in the true, in the realistic way. So when a person approaches psychology, he approaches it with the same ideas that he has received as a basin, as a foundation. And he recognizes those ideas. Those are the true ideas to follow. But if he doesn't have that basis, he'll just open up psychology books and read this. This person says this. Now that psychologist is something else. He doesn't. He's lost. He's completely lost. He'll never be able to get it. Never be able to get there. That's why Ruyin Heim Lagimon. That's what Ram means, Ruyin Heim Lagimon. It's a type of thinking, you see, which is the thinking that must be used in understanding reality in every area. That the way they teach the subjects, even the sciences, which is physics and chemistry, it is not taught in a really conceptual way. As a matter of fact, my experience has been that many of the people who teach these subjects don't really understand the subjects themselves. They don't. What they have done is they've gone through an accumulation of many facts, which they have, and see which they know. They know the formulas, they know the results, and they can maneuver with the results. But a true understanding of the subject itself and how it works, it's surprising when you find out how poor their knowledge is. I mean, I know Falsu Yeshiva of reaction is an opposite and equal reaction. So if that's the case, he says, how could I ever push the book? The more pressure I exert in the book, the more pressure the book exerts on me. It works in the... Every time I exert pressure on a book, it has to be an opposite and equal reaction, which means I'll never be able to move it. So he says, the fellow said, he's a PhD in physics, teaching a course. He said that he didn't understand it. He says, it's a good question. It's a basic thing. I mean, I'm talking about the thing. And the point is, a person can go through the system and get a PhD in physics without ever understanding this point. You see, because he just remembers it. Opposite equal reaction, what formula does it? The truth of the matter is that the way the subject is taught, while it is true that there are people in the world that have a true understanding of these ideas, but when it comes to giving over the ideas to the masses, that transmission, you see, that's where the danger is. From the minds that really created the formulas, really unless he himself happens to be a great thinker, there are people who are machachim in the field. But the truth of the matter is, there are a few machachim. The rest of the world just parrots over the results, and very few people really understand. The sciences are definitely not taught in a way that is conceptual to the average individual. Just a matter of practicality, getting through the subject matter. You see, that's the difference. Yes, that you're right. I mean, you're right. If you'd have classes in physics like that would discuss these types of, what would happen is you'd have a lot of discussions. It would become like a shiur almost. You know, I mean, you have a lot of discussions with people. You know. It wouldn't be what they consider, you know, satisfying in terms of the educational process, what they consider educational process, you know what I mean? It would be a different... Yeah. He says, all right, he says, Rabbi Yeshua had something extra besides... Pas is Torah, he says. Rabbi Yeshua said that I could argue better. He had something better. Why? He had other chachmas in the argument. He had this ability. He was a master, expertise in other chachmas. Shein domos lasolas, that's like flour. Kemosha shasolas ina rakak domo lechem, aide mayim, asharam tzayim. Just like flour is an introductory process to bread through water. You have to add water and other things. Kach chachmas acheras. He says, so too other kemo hatchuna achshov tkufot mazolos. That's basic astronomy. The chokhmas hamispar and the study of number, algebra. The tashboris, that's geometry. Game adoma l'torasenu. Their introductions to our Torah. Shal yedei mei haTorah nasa lechem umozon ruchani chaye nachsho shel adam. He says that through the medium, this is like the solus. First you take your flour. That's the deductive of all these other sciences that he mentions. You see? He says, and then through the water of Torah, it becomes the finished product of lechem. Right? Kamar Shosina came ready. The Beatuna. Vefshad Rabbi Gamliel Ohur go b'chach moselu. He says, it doesn't mean that Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel only had pas, the Gemara says. So he says, he can't say Rabbi Gamliel didn't know it all with any of these sciences. He says, what he meant was that Rabbi Yeshua was... had more expertise in these other sciences, so therefore his arguments were better. That's what the Maharsha says. Maharsha, right? It's the same shot as the Maharsha. It says Gematrius mitnei sheyesh bem chesbonos rabim v'chokhmas hacheshbon mechadedes es ha'odom. So he sharpens a person. Sharpens.
Perkei Avos, Perkei Gimel. The end.
Gematrius over here. Question is: does Gematrius mean Rashi learns Gematrius means Gematrius in the Torah? Work out the Gematrius. Could be Gematrius means the what do you call it? The mathematics itself. That's what he seems to learn. Okay.